Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On June 1st, 2020, the Supreme Court reversed and remanded the case, Financial Oversight and Management Board for Puerto Rico v. Aurelius Investment, LLC. In the opinion written by Justice Breyer, the court ruled 9-0 to uphold the practice of presidents appointing members of the Puerto Rican Financial Oversight and Management Board without confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Justice Breyer's opinion stated that the Appointments Clause does not restrict the appointment process for local officers that Congress vests with primarily local duties. Justices Thomas and Sotomayor filed opinions concurring in the judgment. And now, to discuss the case, we have William Bode, professor at the University of Chicago Law School.
On Monday, the Supreme Court issued an opinion in Financial Oversight and Management Board for Puerto Rico versus Aurelius. The case is consequential because it concerns the bankruptcy procedures used for the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and also implicates important constitutional questions about the separation of powers. The question in the case is whether the Financial Oversight and Management Board created by Congress to manage the Puerto Rico bankruptcy was constitutional. All nine justices agreed that it was. Seven of them joined an opinion by Justice Breyer, and two of them wrote separate opinions. Justice Breyer's opinion for the court did two important things in upholding the Financial Oversight and Management Board, which I'll explain. The first thing it did was it laid down the basic constitutional framework for territorial officers, something that needed to be clarified after several centuries of somewhat confused practice and decisions. Article 2 of the Constitution restricts the appointment of officers of the United States. It says that the president shall nominate and, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint officers of the United States, except for a few who can be vested in the president alone. But the court concluded officers of a territory like Puerto Rico or like the many territories throughout the 19th century or like the District of Columbia today do not need to be appointed in conformity with this clause. Officers of the United States must be appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate, but officers of the territory of Puerto Rico or of the District of Columbia or of other territories do not. That is, the Constitution's rules for an officer differ depending on what kind of government that officer represents. Do they represent the general national government of the United States, or do they represent or derive their power from a local government, a territorial government, or a district? This question and this distinction was especially important in the Puerto Rico case because the members of the Financial Oversight and Management Board were not appointed with Senate confirmation. Instead, they're appointed by the president alone, so long as he selects from lists that were prepared by congressional leaders. So they go outside of the Article II process for officers of the United States. Thus, the question was, is the board the kind of national government, that is an officer of the United States? Is it part of the government of the United States, or is it part of the government of Puerto Rico? The second important thing Justice Breyer's decision did was to conclude that the board fell on the territorial side of that framework. That is, its members are officers of the territory of Puerto Rico, not of the United States. The court noted that the board had broad powers. It had broad investigatory powers. It could issue oaths, take subpoenas, demand information, and so on. But it said these powers are ultimately backed by Puerto Rican law, not federal law. The subpoenas were governed by Puerto Rico's personal jurisdiction statute. False testimony was punishable under the law of Puerto Rico. The board sought enforcement of its subpoenas by filing in the courts of Puerto Rico, and so on. The board could file bankruptcy issues and litigation, but again, representing the government of Puerto Rico. So ultimately, everything the board could do was on behalf of the government of Puerto Rico, not on behalf of the United States, and thus that made it fall within fall that, that thus that made it fall outside of the Article II rules. The first question, is the framework. The framework for territorial officers is that Article II affects officers of the United States, but it doesn't restrict officers of the territories or of the government of Puerto Rico. And second, the board consists of officers of the territory of Puerto Rico because their powers are primarily local in nature, said the court. That was Justice Breyer's decision, joined by six other justices. Justice Thomas wrote a separate opinion that basically agreed with Justice Breyer's framework, that there was a distinction between officers of the United States and officers of the territories, and the question was which side of the line the board fell on. Justice Thomas provided a little bit more founding-era evidence for that distinction, focusing especially on the Northwest Territory, and he had a slight disagreement with Justice Breyer about the way to phrase the test. He would have drawn the line more formally, more crisply. Rather than asking whether the powers were primarily local in nature, he would have required them to be entirely local in nature. That is, an officer of the government of Puerto Rico can't exercise any powers of the United States, only the powers of the government of Puerto Rico. But that distinction didn't really matter here because he thought that all of the board's powers were powers of the government of Puerto Rico, and so it was permissibly appointed, essentially agreeing with the same framework with a slightly more formalist bent. Now, Justice Sotomayor also wrote a long concurring opinion of her own, raising a different problem that was not fully addressed by the parties, which was the self-rule status of Puerto Rico. So she too agreed that officers of the government of Puerto Rico have their own fall outside of the Appointments Clause, but she questioned whether Congress could create a body like the board, unaccountable to the people of Puerto Rico, that still counted as being part of the government of Puerto Rico. And she questioned that in particular because of the long history and congressional action granting Puerto Rico a large amount of autonomy and self-rule. So she wondered whether powers that Congress could originally exercise when it first held the territory might be given away at some point by sufficient both promises and reality of local autonomy and self-rule. She noted that these questions hadn't really been litigated here, and so she was willing to go along with the court's decision, but she raised what I think we have to call a substantial question that that might come up in another case about Puerto Rican governance that might suggest there's an additional wrinkle with the framework. Finally, there's one other issue that the court did not address, which is that the statute gives congressional leaders a role in the appointments process. Even if the Article II clauses don't apply, this is an independent problem because Congress can normally exercise only legislative power. So even if the Appointments Clause does not apply, does that mean that there are no limits on who can receive or share the power to appoint officers of a territorial government? That's not so clear. It may well be that only either the president or the people of the territory have the power to appoint local officers. That would require further investigation into history, as well as into some of the court's precedents governing legislative vetoes and other powers given to Congress. But again, this issue wasn't raised. So the court didn't confront either of those two questions. It's not clear that either of these problems, the question of home rule in Puerto Rico or the question of congressional involvement in the appointment process, can or will still be raised in the Puerto Rico proceedings. But both of them may have to be confronted the next time the court considers a question of territorial appointments and territorial governance. Until then, what we do have is the very important distinction between officers of the United States, governed by Article II, and officers of the territory, who are not.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.